This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Greg, for reading the word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. I hope you had a great Independence Day, great 4th of July. Seemed not quite as hot as maybe years past, but still unbearable to me and others. But I hope yours was great. And I hope you enjoyed the potluck last week. It was awesome. If you didn't have a chance to be, yeah, it was great. I did make all the food myself. Thank you for applauding. It was great. We have it about once a quarter. And so if you couldn't make this one, I hope you can make the last one. My belt has almost recovered from that day, and I think it will get there soon. Many, many years ago, there was this news story from South Florida that went absolutely viral. You might remember it. It was about this 7-year-old kid who stole his grandmother's car and took a joyride for 10 or 15 minutes, and he caused absolute mayhem. He ran into a bunch of other cars. Some were parked, some were not. He ran through red lights, ran through Walmart parking lots, stuff like that. And eventually he hit this sign that was in the ground and destroyed the sign and also totaled his grandmother's car. The news hears about this. They go to this 7-year-old kid and they ask him about what he has done. And his response was priceless. He said, "You know, I just want to do hood rat things with my friends, like stealing cars and smoking on cigarettes." And he said, "It is fun to do bad things. I'm not sorry." Now, you hear that and you go, a kid actually said this? A 7-year-old kid? Yeah, he did. It's crazy to hear someone say that. When you get older, you know, even if you think something like that, you're not supposed to say it out loud. But this kid, that's what he said. Now, I'm happy to say that that kid did grow up and straighten out. He is one of our deacons here at the church. No, it's crazy to hear someone say that. I don't think that I've ever heard someone who would say something like that. You know, if you were to sit someone down and just, hey, be honest with me, no one would say that. Now, maybe my dog sometimes, she could talk, I feel like she would say something, but a person, an adult, you wouldn't hear someone say that they want to do bad, they want to just live by their own rules, they want to be bad. No one says that. In fact, most people want to live with integrity, right? Integrity is living right no matter what. It's being the same person at home when you're alone as you are at church around other people. It's being honest when you know you could get away with lying. It's doing what's right when it's hard, when it's inconvenient, when it costs you something. That's integrity. But how can you do it? How can you live with integrity? We're continuing our summer in the Psalms, and today we're looking at Psalm 26. And as we study it, we're going to learn how to live with integrity. We're going to see 4 ways to live with integrity. And maybe you've been here for a while and you're going, "Sean, you usually have 3 points and you just said 4. Well, y'all are the second service. I added one because there's no time limit on the back end. No, just kidding. So how can you live with integrity? Let's start with the first way. Number one, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. I know you come to church and you feel like you hear that, trust the Lord, all the time. It feels like every Sunday we're saying something like that. And it feels like it's basic. It's Christianity 101. And you might go, "Sean, why do you repeat it so much? Why do you say something like this every Sunday?" Because this is one of the easiest things to say, yet one of the hardest things to do. You and I both struggle to trust the Lord. In fact, every sin in your life can be traced back to not trusting God. You cheat on your taxes? Well, you didn't trust that the Lord is better than money. You looked at that stuff you shouldn't have? Well, you don't trust that the Lord truly satisfies. You exploded in anger? Well, you didn't trust God to handle justice. You lied to make yourself look better? You didn't trust that your identity in Christ is enough. You refuse to forgive. You didn't trust that God is the judge and His grace is sufficient. Our sins show that we struggle to trust the Lord. David, who was the king in Israel, the guy who wrote this, look at what he says in verse 1. Vindicate me, Lord, because I have lived with integrity and have trusted in the Lord without wavering. You see, he connects living with integrity and trusting the Lord. In his mind, these things are intertwined. And here's what he's showing us. If you want to live with integrity, trust the Lord. He explains it further. Look with me at verse 2 if you have your Bible. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and mind, for your faithful love guides me, and I live by your truth. David asks God to test his integrity. And then the next thing he says is that he is being guided by God. He is living by God's truth. In other words, he is trusting God. You see how David intertwines these two things, living with integrity and trusting God. This is where the life of integrity is found, in trusting God. I know it sounds simple. I know that it feels like we should have learned that a long time ago, but we need to hear it. We need to trust in God. Because when you trust God, when you trust that he is good and loving and faithful and just and kind, then you actually invite his examination. You're not afraid of it. You trust him. It's like the way you trust a surgeon with a scalpel. You know that they are good, that they are going to do what they are called to do. David says this. Says, test me and try me. Examine my heart and mind. You can pray that too if you trust God. Because you want him to shine a light on any place in your life that lacks integrity. And you welcome his help to change. You will never live with integrity until you stop trusting yourself and start trusting God. How can you live with integrity? Trust the Lord. We were laying in bed one night, and I was right on the brink of sleep. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you have 5 seconds where you can feel yourself shutting down. You're about to be in a coma, it feels like. I was right there. It's such a good feeling. But then I had this thought that made my eyes shoot wide open. I realized that I had left something very, very valuable in my truck. And no, it was not a child. It wasn't one of my kids. I can't believe you would even think that. It was something very, very valuable, and I can't remember if I locked my truck. So I'm exhausted. I want to go to sleep. I don't want to get out of bed, but I know that I have to because this thing is probably in my truck without the locks engaged. So I have to get up. I have to go downstairs. I have to lock it. And right as I am rolling over to get out of bed, I remember. My wife was the last one to drive the truck. She took it to the grocery store just a couple hours before. So I asked her, did you lock the truck when you got back? And she goes, yeah, I locked it. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not super sure about that. So let me just ask you, are you sure that you locked the truck? And she said, yeah, I'm pretty sure I locked the truck. Now, in my mind, we went from yes to I'm pretty sure. I mean, we're on a downward trajectory. The confidence is really falling off, and I feel like if I ask her a couple more times, the answer is eventually going to be no, I definitely did not lock it. And so I'm like, all right, I've got to get up. I've got to go lock my truck. And so I get out of bed, and I start walking out of the room, and she says, I locked the truck, but I don't trust her. So I walk down the stairs, I get my keys, I lock my truck, and I run back up the stairs. And I wish that's where the story ended. And no, it's not. I know what you're thinking. Like, this is going to be some trust thing. I'm going to vent about my relationship with my wife. That's not where it's going. This is not marriage counseling time. What happened is, as I was running up the stairs, I tripped. And I fell really hard. I mean, really hard. It was the kind of fall where it's like, I'm really glad that my kids weren't awake to see me in my shame as I lay here on the stairs. It was like the kind that left a big bruise on my arm. And I was like, this is the worst. I'm never going to tell anybody about this. It would be way too embarrassing. But I trust you, so I'll share it with you. I didn't share it with the first servant. No, I'm just kidding. So I thought about it. And if I just would have trusted her, I wouldn't have run down the stairs and then had to run back up the stairs. If I just would have trusted her, I wouldn't have fallen. You are called to follow God. You are called to live with integrity. And you have seen people in your life that seem to have integrity. They seemed to be solid. They seemed to have it all together, to be upright. And then they fell hard. Maybe it was that they had an affair. Maybe it was that they broke the law, got caught in a lie, abused power, stole from the company, abandoned their family, manipulated people. Maybe they covered up the truth and they fell hard. And you saw it happen. And when you saw it, when you found out, you thought, why? How? I mean, they seemed so good. And deep down, you knew if it could happen to them, it could happen to you. Well, in some way, they stopped trusting God. They stopped trusting that He was good, that His instruction is good, that He is loving, He is faithful. They stopped trusting His plan, and they fell hard. Well, how can you avoid that? How can you be different? How can you live with integrity? Trust the Lord. That's the first way that we see. But it's not the only way that we see in this psalm. How can you live with integrity? Number two, stay innocent. Stay innocent. Now, you might hear that word, innocent, and think to yourself, well, I mean, that's cute. You know, innocent is something like a little baby or a kitten or even some of those old Hallmark movies. That's innocence, but I'm not innocent, that's for sure. You know, I lost my innocence a long time ago. That ship has sailed. And not only has it sailed, that ship sailed, sunk, and now deep sea divers are exploring it. That's how far my innocence has gone. And how can I stay innocent if I'm not innocent already? Well, David, again, the guy who wrote this, had seven older brothers. And just think for a second. How innocent do you honestly think he was? How many pranks do you think he probably played? Or how many lies do you think he told to blame things on his brothers? Or how many fake cries did he probably use to get someone in trouble? And look, I'm not saying these things just from my experience as the youngest brother. I mean, I was a good younger brother. That's just generally how the youngest brother does things. You see, David wasn't innocent like a baby, yet he gives us a way, he gives us a picture of how to stay innocent. Look with me at verse 4. I do not sit with the worthless or associate with the hypocrites. I hate a crowd of evildoers, and I do not sit with the wicked. He's saying that he doesn't keep company with those who are against God. That's what it takes to be innocent. And you might hear that and go, well, if that's what it takes, then I'm never going to be innocent. Because I have to be around these people. I'm always around them. Maybe I'm around them at school, at work, at the ballpark, in the neighborhood, at family gatherings, in the group chat, in the gym, sometimes even at church. And so if it takes not being around people like that, people who are against God, to be innocent, then I guess I'm just not going to be innocent. And you're right. It's nearly impossible to avoid being around people who live like that. But David isn't talking about proximity. David's talking about alignment. He's not saying, I never see these people. He does all the time. He's saying, I don't sit with them. As in, I don't lock arms with them. I don't let them shape who I am becoming. You see, he's not talking about isolation. He's talking about intention. And so who are you letting shape you? Maybe you go, I don't know if I'm letting other people shape who I am. I don't know if I'm keeping company with the wicked. How can I possibly know that? Well, ask, who has my heart? Who has my heart? Whose approval am I chasing? whose opinions carry the most weight in my mind? To stay innocent, you don't have to leave the world, but you have to refuse to let the world lead you. Who is shaping you? To live with integrity, stay innocent. Instead of being like the world, look at what David says in verse 6. I wash my hands in innocence, and I go around your altar, Lord, raising my voice in thanksgiving and telling about your wondrous works. So David's not just actively avoiding sin, he is actively pursuing worship. He doesn't join in with the wicked, he joins in with the worshipers. He fills his mouth with gratitudes toward God, and he fills his mind with the wonders of God. Staying innocent isn't just about what you walk away from. Staying innocent is about what you run toward. You can run toward the world, which makes you dirty. Or you can run toward God, who makes you innocent in Jesus. And when you are with him, when you are in his presence, you grow in integrity. To live with integrity, stay innocent. That's the second way that we see here. And then there's a third way that we see here in the psalm. It's number 3, seek God. You want to live with integrity, seek God. Have you ever watched a Pixar movie before? You know, Pixar, like the Disney animation studio. Yeah, these Pixar movies, they all have something similar in them. And it doesn't matter which Pixar movie it is. It could be Inside Out. It could be Up. It could be WALL-E. Whatever Pixar movie it is, it has this one thing in it. Every story is building up to this one point where there is this one line or this one image that just grabs a hold of your heartstrings and yanks them as hard as it can. And when you get to this point in the movie, you're watching it, and you might even find yourself starting to cry a little bit. And you might say to yourself, what is wrong with me? This is a story about a robot that can't even talk. Why am I crying? Why am I so emotional? Well, they do this for a reason. They plan it this way. They write the story this way. This moment comes in every single Pixar movie. It is the emotional center of that movie. We have an emotional center of this psalm. It's verse 8. So if you have your Bible, look at verse 8 with me. Lord, I love the house where you dwell, the place where your glory resides. David is saying, I don't just want to live right. I don't want to just follow the rules. I want to be near you. I love being with you. This emotional center shows us the heart of integrity. See, it's not about checking boxes. It's not about just avoiding sin. It's not about just being apart from the wicked. The heart of integrity is about seeking God. It's about loving his presence. It's about longing to be where he is. David, he's not going to be with God. He's not going to the place of worship just for image management. He's not going so that people would see him doing this and think he's a good guy. He's not after religion without a relationship. No, David wants to be in the place where God's greatness, his goodness, his nearness can be seen and felt. David was seeking God. Well, here's a simple truth of life. It's true in your life, it's true in my life. You are shaped by what you seek. You are shaped by what you seek. If you're always seeking approval, then you will become performance obsessed. If you are always seeking comfort, then you will become spiritually lazy. If you are always seeking control, then you will become frustrated and fearful. If you're always seeking pleasure, you'll become numb to real joy. If you're always seeking attention, you'll become insecure and exhausted. If you're always seeking fried chicken, you will become round, specifically in the midsection. I mean, you know just from experience that you are shaped by what you seek. But if you seek God, you will become a person of integrity, because his glory, his spirit changes you. to live with integrity, seek God. Let me ask you, what are you seeking? What are you seeking right now? What do you want more than anything in life? What are you chasing in this moment? David gives us an answer. And he didn't say, I love the power. Didn't say, I love the applause. He didn't say, I love the acceptance. He didn't say, I love the wealth. He didn't say, I love the comfort. He didn't say, I love the security. David says, I love the house where you dwell. He loved the presence of God. He wanted to be with God. He was seeking God. You can't live a life of integrity without a heart that's seeking God. You know that? You can't live a life of integrity without a heart that's seeking God. Because God keeps you grounded. God reorders your loves. God reshapes your motives. God recenters your identity. So integrity is not maintained by sheer willpower. It is fueled by the Spirit of God. You seek Him, and He gives you integrity. Think of it like being out in the sun. Let's say that you want a nice bronze summer tan. So you do what people do around here. You go and start lathering up with that cooking oil, that whatever it's, suntan lotion, whatever it's called. And you go out in the sun for a couple hours. And after a couple hours, you come in, maybe a day or two later, you look in the mirror and you're looking good. You have got that tan that you've been wanting. You look like a rotisserie chicken from Publix, exactly what you want to look like. And you're happy with it, but come day six, come day seven, suddenly your tan is starting to fade a little bit. Now, what do you have to do to stay tan? You got to go back out in the sun, right? You've got to stay in the sun. And for those of you who thought, well, you could go to a tanning bed or you could put that spray tan on, that stuff makes you look like a hot dog. It doesn't make you look tan. Come on. No, if you want to be tan, you've got to be in the sun. And if you want to live with integrity, you have to seek God. You've got to bask in His presence. You've got to stay close to Him. And as you do, He will continually transform you so that you live right. To live with integrity, seek God. That's the third way. And then there's a fourth way that this psalm shows us to live with integrity. You want to live with integrity, number four, rely on grace. Rely on grace. This is where the whole psalm comes together. Look with me at verse 9. Do not destroy me along with sinners, or my life along with men of bloodshed, and whose hands are evil schemes, and whose right hands are filled with bribes. But I live with integrity. Redeem me, and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. I will bless the Lord in the assemblies. Now, up to this point in the psalm, David has been pretty bold. He says, I've walked in integrity. I don't sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence. He's bold in that, and he's even bold in the first part of verse 11. But then we get to the second part of verse 11, and look at what he says. Redeem me and be gracious to me. In other words, he's saying, even with all of my attempts at integrity, I still desperately need grace. Listen to me today. God's grace is the only way that you will live with integrity. It is by His grace alone. You don't have the power to do it on your own. And you know that for a fact because you have tried to live with integrity over and over and over, and you have failed to do it over and over and over. If you want to live with integrity, rely on grace. I love having a car. Yeah, I mean, not like I grew up when cars didn't exist, but I do love having a car. I love not having to walk everywhere, not having to ride my bike everywhere, not having to swim everywhere. Although if I didn't have a car, my old clothes would probably fit still. But I do like having a car. There has been maybe a dozen times in my life that this has happened to me. I've needed to go somewhere, so I grab my keys, I get in the car, put the keys in the ignition, and I turn the key, and nothing happens. So I take the key out, put it back in, turn it again, nothing happens. Do it again, nothing happens. And so at this point, I know that something is not right. It only took me three times to realize something's not right. So I do what any reasonable person would do. I do what you do in that situation. I put the key in and I turn it harder, you know, because that always works. And nothing happens. And it's when that takes place, this dozen times or so in my life it's happened, I realize I rely on my battery. You know, it doesn't matter how many times I try to crank it. It doesn't matter how I put the key in. It doesn't matter how hard I crank it. It does not matter if the battery is not doing its thing. I rely on the battery completely. Nothing is going to happen without the battery. Now, of course, I do my part every time. I put the key in. I turn the key. But I rely on the battery. You should try to live with integrity. You should fight sin. You should break bad habits. You should pursue holiness with all you've got. But none of it matters without the grace of God. You cannot, and you will not, have integrity if you are not receiving, recognizing, and relying on God's grace. If you want to live with integrity, rely on grace. David, in all of his striving, and all of the good things that he has done, he recognizes that he doesn't deserve a gold star from God because of his effort. Now, he knows the truth that he would be swept away in judgment with everyone else if not for God's kindness. So he throws himself on the grace of God. Grace is the battery to true integrity. You live righteously, but you lean on grace. You walk in holiness, but you don't trust your track record. You pursue obedience, but your hope is in God's kindness, not your works. If you want to live with integrity, rely on grace. This morning, think about this. Are you relying on grace, or are you relying on your performance? Do you feel like God owes you something because of how good you've been? Are you afraid of coming to God because you know that you have messed up? Or do you stand before God with open hands saying, "Redeem me and be gracious to me"? You will never live with true integrity until you stop trying to earn God's grace and start relying on it. If you want to live with integrity, rely on grace. That is the fourth and final way that we see. Most of us want to live with integrity. I'm sure that you want to live with integrity. Well, this psalm shows us four ways to do that. Trust the Lord, stay innocent, seek God, and rely on grace. If you do these things, you will find that you live with integrity. But here's the truth. You don't always do it perfectly. You know it. I don't always do it perfectly. And that's part of why this psalm is written. It's not to just show us how to live, but it is to point us to the one who made it possible, the one who lived with perfect integrity. The reason that we don't live with integrity is because of sin. Sin is not just something that you do. Sin is part of who you are. God created people to be in a relationship with him. He made them for himself. But the first two people, they decided to push God away instead of walking with him. They sinned against him. And since then, humanity's different. Since then, sin is not just a behavior. Sin is part of our nature. It is ingrained in us. And what we need to live with integrity is not just a change of behavior. We need a change of nature. We need to be set free from sin. We need to be redeemed. That's why David cried out, "Redeem me and be gracious to me." Well, here's the good news this morning. We have a redeemer. His name is Jesus. He lived with perfect integrity. He never went against God the Father. He came to set us free, free from the penalty of sin and free from the power of sin. On the cross, Jesus took our sin and he paid for it fully. So now, if we trust in Jesus, we are forgiven of our sin against God, all because Jesus died for our sin. But that's not the end of the story. A few days later, Jesus rose up from the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he ascended into heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to live in his people. And now, if we trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit has given us a new nature, one that longs to live with integrity. And little by little, the Holy Spirit shapes our desires. He strengthens you to say no to sin and to say yes to God. He helps you walk in integrity, all because Jesus has redeemed us. So to live with integrity, walk with Jesus, your Redeemer. Are you doing that today? Well, if you have never trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, then you will never truly live with integrity. You won't have true integrity until you have been redeemed, until you have been set free. And there is nothing that you can do to redeem yourself. There is no good work that can redeem you. It is only the perfect work of Jesus in which we have redemption. So today, he freely offers you redemption. He will set you free from sin. He will set you free from guilt. He will set you free from shame. It's a gift that he offers you. So receive this gift by crying out to God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have done wrong, but forgive me because of Jesus. And if you trust in him in your heart, you will receive his grace and you will be redeemed. And the Holy Spirit will live in you and will help you live with integrity. Now maybe you hear that and you have questions about it. Maybe you want to make that decision right now. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song, waiting for you, as everybody else is singing, come, make the decision to trust in Jesus. And after the service, I'm going to be hanging around waiting for you. Do not wait another day. Trust in Jesus and experience his redemption right now. Christian, you can live with integrity. Walk with your Redeemer this week. Live with integrity. And so we are going to respond to what we have heard by singing. And maybe as we sing, maybe you need to respond in a very specific way. Maybe as everybody else is singing, you just need to confess to God where you have compromised. You know it. You know what you have done. Confess that to God. Or maybe you need to admit that there's a part of your life that doesn't match who you are in Christ, and it's time to bring that into the light. So admit it this morning to God. Or maybe you need to be honest about how you have been trusting in your own strength instead of relying on God's grace. Well, be honest with God this morning. Or maybe as we sing, you just need to thank God for his grace, for his redemption, in spite of all of your failures. But you are redeemed. So now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in integrity. I'm going to pray and we are going to sing, and let us respond as the Spirit leads us. Would you pray with me? Father, you are so good to us. We know that we have done nothing to earn this redemption, that it is all by grace. And so we thank you this morning. Lord, I know that I have tried to walk in integrity and I have failed. Forgive me. I pray that this week you would give us the power of the Holy Spirit to follow you with everything that we have. I pray, Lord, that as we are tempted to sin against you, that we would have the strength to resist. I pray that you would help us walk in integrity. I pray, Lord, there is anyone here who has not trusted in Jesus, that they would see their sin. They would see their need for a Savior. They would see what Jesus has done for us, and they would put their faith in him now, and they would receive this redemption. Lord, let all of this be for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.